Yeah, thanks for that, Shauna. Well, we want to turn our attention back to the jobs market. And for that, we're going to bring in Representative Kevin Brady from Texas. Thank you, Congressman, for joining us today. Pretty stunning miss on that headline payrolls number. I'm looking at it, 235,000. Street was expecting 733,000. We also saw the unemployment rate tick down a couple notches, a couple basis points. I'm just wondering, what's your take from a lawmaker's perspective?
Yeah, so clearly we want a strong recovery and all hoping for, but this was a pretty terrible jobs report, only gaining about a third of what most of the market expectations were. You know, I think there's more than just COVID that's driving this. I think we've seen, in effect, a workerless recovery that's not working very well for Main Street businesses who simply are struggling to find the workers they desperately need, or for families who are struggling with much higher prices. And that's why we're seeing, at least last month, it looks like the recovery is stalling. That's not what we want. And consumer optimism is way down. That's an alarm bell as well. The other thing I always worry about is labor force participation. It's still 2 points lower than it was pre-COVID. It hasn't budged this entire year. If we don't see some progress back up toward that 63 rate somewhere in there, you know, I think this recovery is going to have trouble. You know, I think pricing and price increases will continue because it's not just our Main Street businesses, manufacturers all up and down supply chains cannot find the workers they need to man their production lines. So I worry about not just the Delta variant. I think there's some real key policy issues here. That's why I was disappointed to see President Biden call for an extension of the federal unemployment benefits because they've been a real barrier, and his call for higher taxes on job creators. It makes no sense trying to battle our way out of this economy in the crisis.
Representative Vachon, it's good to see you again. Thanks again for joining us. The enhanced unemployment benefits, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that, because I think the big debate here is how big of an impact that could potentially have on the jobs market. Because when you look at the states who expired the enhanced employment benefits early, we haven't necessarily seen a large number of workers come off the sidelines. I guess from your perspective, from your constituents, from who you are speaking with, what do you think the disconnect is?
So I think, I don't think there's any question. Listen to our Main Street businesses. It is a real barrier and continues to be. I think we did see more job growth in those 26 states that ended early, but by happenstance, those were many of the states that had been reopened for quite some time. So you wouldn't see necessarily that strong a burst because those are reopening. I think, frankly, the states that have been locked down the longest have kept those federal unemployment benefits the longest. We'll likely see more of a benefit when those end, hopefully, here over the Labor Day weekend. I think that'll be the change. I get the impression from some businesses it is still early to see the true impact. What they're telling me is they've always gotten applicants for jobs, but people weren't even bothering to show up for interviews or accept them. When they did show up, they weren't likely to accept the job. And when they did, they weren't always showing up after they got the job. What they tell me is they're starting to see some changes in that psychology where people are interviewing seriously, you know, are accepting more suitable employment, are beginning to show up. But I think it is a bit early to draw the full conclusion.
Yeah, interview practice time might be peaking here. I want to shift gears to that $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. I believe it's going to be hitting you, your desk, in the near future as the ranking member on the House Ways and Means Committee. I know there are tax hikes in it with regard to capital gains and a wealth tax that you've spoken out against. But what are you seeing in this bill, and how are you going to mark it up?
Yeah, so they're moving at light speed. In the House, Speaker Pelosi has made it clear now that she sort of knocked every one of her moderates in the line to vote for the green light for this reconciliation bill. They look like they are going to try to ram this through over the next 3 weeks or four. We're going to start marking it up, that is voting on it, on Thursday in the Ways and Means Committee. And so you see a combination, I think, in our committee of trillions of dollars of new spending and new entitlement programs, and much of it, unfortunately, not tied to people working. That should be a worry. But the tax hikes, I think, are crippling in a number of ways. One, I think it is an economic surrender to our global competitors, China, Japan, Europe, and others. Secondly, I think it's going to land very strongly on small businesses, Main Street, on blue-collar workers, because the way those tax hikes are designed. So we estimate that this package, depending on how it finally looks, could kill or put at risk about 4 million U.S. jobs. Certainly will create incentives to offshore, not just headquarters, but research, intellectual property, advanced manufacturing as well. So we worry about sort of giving back all the economic advantages we have today under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. There couldn't be a worse time coming out of this recovery and trying to build a recovery to be doing this.
Representative, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the op-ed that we had from Senator Manchin in the Journal earlier this week, because he's one Democrat from the Senate that doesn't seem to be on board with this. He's urging for a pause, the strategic pause is what he called for in the $3.5 trillion effort. He was saying we need to assess where we are in this pandemic. We also need to assess where we are when it comes to inflation. I guess some of the points that he has raised and some of the points that other moderate Democrats have raised, do you agree with some of their concerns? And I guess, is there a way for both sides of the aisle, do you think, to work together on some portion of this bill?
Well, I think, you know, I would hope so, yes. But there's been absolutely not 1 minute of conversation with Republicans in the House on this. I don't expect there to be. This is a straight partisan bill. I think it's for the Democrats, certainly the more progressive. This is their new deal, a chance to transform the shape and the control of government. Moderates, I think what Senator Manchin asked every moderate Democrat in the House, if there are any left, is asking themselves, you know, what is the rush here? What is the impact on jobs? You know, are we spending money that would be best set aside for the next pandemic, or rebuilding this economy, or making ourselves more independent from China on medicines and key technologies? And I think so. He's asking exactly the right questions. I hope others will listen to him, because if we have that pause and really a thoughtful discussion, I don't think we'll rush through these crippling tax hikes or the spending that I think, too, is going to hurt our economy the way it's designed.
We want to thank you for stopping by here. Representative Kevin Brady, always great to see you. Thank you.